This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio, and thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life these days. And so last week, I talked with Joel Barnes. He's in his 20s. He grew up in the Midwest, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. He's worked in architecture and engineering by trade and has been called by God in the past couple of years to work with Polish and Ukrainian people. He's also been leading and participating in several young adult groups. And what I like to do on this program when I can is have youth on, because we are losing youth at a rapid pace. So we need to give them a voice so we can learn and hear. We need to make some changes. So, Joel, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again, Mike. I appreciate it.
So last week, you shared how in a couple of the churches that you visited, one you called church number one that you grew up with, the pastor, who was around 60, ended up having inappropriate contact with an 18-year-old girl, and the guy had been in the pulpit for 30 years. And then another time where something similar happened with another pastor, inappropriate contact with women, and you've seen in other churches that this has happened. So how has this affected you, seeing this?
Sure. It's been really challenging having many people, mentor figures, older people in my life who give an impression of being leaders and examples to the church body and not following through on that. I've felt betrayed before by a lot of older people in my life that should have been there to protect me, mentor me, and watch over their flock, and not done so. It would be easy enough to look at that and be shocked and horrified, but we have a lot of situations within our churches nowadays where they are not exactly what they're supposed to be. Church leaders are often becoming celebrity pastors. People rally around one person rather than recognizing multiple pillars within the church and ultimately the cornerstone, which is Jesus, and being surprised when people sin. And I think there's this expectation when you look at these pastors that, you know, because they are where they're at, because they've, you know, maybe been to seminary, maybe not, that they're solid in their faith and they're not going to have anything go wrong. I think spiritual warfare and attacks come at our leaders probably more than anyone else. And it's a grave error for followers within the church to assume that everything is going to be okay. What happened with my pastor and with each of these situations could have been avoided if there were people within the church willing to sit down with them and say, hey, I struggle with this. Do you struggle with this? And setting up boundaries, too. There were situations where the pastor was alone with a young woman behind a closed door. Situations like that don't always have to lead to problems. Sometimes things surprise us. You know, you have a moment to minister to someone, and it's not the most convenient situation to be in. But we don't want to make that the norm. And we want to be prepared for the times when those things do happen, so that we can not fall to that sort of stuff.
So how did this affect you personally? Did it shake your faith in church leadership? Did it affect your relationship in God?
This being one of many instances at this point that I had been let down by a leader, it would have been fairly easy for me to look at it and walk away from my faith. But I think it's important to remember that God is not responsible for the actions of his people. These things are bound to happen. And rather than running away from God, we need to run to God. And also to remember the fact that we are capable of doing some pretty awful things too. You look at the good majority of the Bible, and it is just a series of people messing up in horrible ways and still being able to be used by God. But the fallen nature is still there. I think a lot of times we as Christians, and even as a larger society, unbelievers, have this idea that we can create prosperity and heaven without God. And that's not the case. We need to be prepared and aware of the fact that we are not getting anywhere without him.
And we talked a little bit about spiritual warfare last week. And these days, just about every day, there's a news article where a pastor or a youth minister or somebody in a trusted leadership position in a church in America is being exposed for sexual sin or an affair. So it really has become the norm, and yet are we talking about these things in your perspective?
No, not really. I think a lot of people have this idea of church where you show up on Sunday, sing 3 to 4 worship songs, high-octane, high-energy songs, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that paired with a brief message on simple surface-level conversation about Jesus being the way to salvation, we can dig deeper than that. And whether that's in a Sunday service or asking people to come to an evening group or some other format, there are resources out there that are capable of teaching people. I love reading, which in my age bracket, I find fewer and fewer friends that enjoy it as much as I do. And a lot of times I'll also listen to audiobooks too, so I'm not a complete purist in that regard. But I've read several books in the last year that have talked on these things. Chip Ingram is one of my favorite authors. Of course, I read Rogue Christian, which is how I got connected with Mike. Max Lucado's books as well. There's lots of resources out there, and I wish that churches would address these topics more rather than shying away from them. Whether it's a worry that people won't understand or that people will be offended, that should be par for the course within the church. There should be an expectation of those sorts of things, but not shying away from them.
When we talked earlier this week, you told me about people asking you which denomination you belong to and that irritating you. Tell that story.
Yes. It's one of the first things that people usually ask if I manage to make it clear to them that I'm a Christian. Sometimes I come outright and just say it. Sometimes they say, you do a lot of these things that seem to align with Christianity. Are you a Christian? And if they themselves are a Christian or have been a Christian in the past, or I should say attended church in the past, they ask, you know, what denomination you're a part of. And it does frustrate me because I would rather lead with, I'm a Christian and these are the things that matter to me. It's human trafficking. It's dealing with sexual sin like pornography and reaching out to young men that are struggling with that. It's ministering to children and making sure that they are hearing the right messages in spite of going to secular schools and being in a secular environment where they're bombarded with all sorts of things like this. And It frustrates me probably more than it should, but it shows that people have the wrong thing that they're looking for. They're checking to see if you match up with the same beliefs they have. And I am nuanced enough where, you know, I could say that I'm Baptist or Protestant, but it's not as important to me as talking about Christ in alignment with modern day issues.
So basically they're asking you which doctrinal box you ascribe to?
Right.
You mentioned human trafficking and pornography, and we've had people who have been in a ministry to where they went into brothels. And one woman told a story, this was a couple months ago, how when they would go into brothels and talk to the prostitutes, this is in Germany, and invite them to go to church, that they would be afraid of going to the church to see some of their customers. And then one of the women, while we were on the doing an interview, said that what we have to do is take care of the demand. And when the demand is coming from 70% of men in the church viewing porn and 90% of youth involved in some kind of sexual sin, okay, so let's say you're running a church, Joel, what's your approach going to be?
It's a very difficult question to answer, and I'm sure there are people that are more equipped to answer it. Openness and truth often set people free. I should say they do set people free. It's a matter of being willing to talk about that. And whether that starts with the pastor stepping up to the pulpit and saying, I struggle with pornography, which so many would be afraid to do. There are too many scenarios I can imagine where people within the audience, despite struggling with the same issues themselves, running up there and throwing him out of the church for saying such an audacious thing. But it's where it starts. You need to be willing to talk about it. It's why I'm talking about it now. The more willing you are to be open with it and recognize it and speak that it is a problem, the more of an impact it's going to have. Hiding things is not going to help anyone, and it eventually will reach a point where it comes out, and it's going to have the same type of explosive effects that we talked about with my church and you talked about happen on numerous occasions. Every day there's a new thing in the newspaper saying someone did this, to the point that it's not even a surprise anymore. We might even chuckle at it. It's like, oh, there it is again.
So let's turn the corner a bit. Let me ask you a question. I've mentioned on this program, beginning of last week, how it kills me really that 75% of youth are leaving the church. If you could list the top three reasons why youth are leaving the church, what would they be?
Last week when we spoke, the big one that I referenced is a lack of challenge. And it can come from either side. I've had situations where I've gone to church leadership at a new church or one that I've been attending for a few weeks and said, how can I help? And there will be some stammering and fumbling, like, oh, we don't really have anything that regularly happens. Or they might say, yeah, we've got something coming up in 6 months. Not having the ability to serve and participate in helping people and using your spiritual gifts is a really good way to lose your desire to be part of a church. There's no connection there. There's no opportunity to work alongside fellow Christians. There's no opportunity for mentorship. Going out and serving is a great way to connect with people in your own age group and connect with people who can minister to you, and eventually people that you can minister to as well. The opposite side of it, though, is sometimes there are young people, often there are young people, who don't want to step up and don't want to go forward and do those sorts of things. They've had this expectation for a long time through youth group and Awana that things are mostly fun and safe, and that real challenges don't come forth. And if you don't set someone up when they're young, it can be challenging to do so. And I wish I had a fix for that. I wish we could rewind time. And for all of you out there who didn't grow up with a church that pushed you or parents that pushed you or someone in your life that pushed you. I wish we had a fix for it. There isn't really one other than sometimes you got to just step forward, trust God, and say, I want to serve. I don't quite know how, but, you know, give me something and we'll go from there. Prayer is the second really big thing. And I think it's true for youth, and I think it's true for the whole church. A lot of times we have these situations where, you know, there's a prayer group that happens, if at all. It's usually just a few people that regularly attend in communities of hundreds or more of believers. And I would say that is often more important than the Sunday service itself. Mm. Obviously, we want to have a situation where we're getting taught to, we're praying, we're going out and ministering to people and doing forms of outreach and service. But if I had to pick, I'd pick the prayer being more important than the message, if it's something that I have to choose between.
So lack of challenge and prayer, give me one more.
Societal influence. A lot of people think it's not cool to be a part of a church anymore. There's a lot of push from outside forces to either abandon the church or change the church. We've got things like LGBT issues. We've got things like human trafficking, pushing for things that are not good to either enter the church or that people should leave the church in favor of them.
So you're saying how to have a strong enough faith to counter or resist those influences?
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
Or a strong relationship with God, how to walk with Him, how to hear from Him, prayer life, really everything.
It's all the things that people say are important, but then don't actually follow through and do. And I'm as guilty of that as the next person. I didn't seriously read through the Word until I was about 15 and didn't understand most of it. I am going through for the second time this year from start to finish with a series by a woman named Tara Lee Koppel called The Bible Recap that covers the Bible from start to finish in chronological order. It really helps make sense of a lot of the Old Testament as well. You've got things like Kings, Chronicles, Samuel, Psalms, Proverbs, which if you read them back to back in the order that is typical in the Bible, sometimes it can feel like you're reading the same story over again and pieces don't fit together. The way this is set up, it gives you the opportunity to see, okay, so we've got some chapters from Samuel about Saul trying to kill David, and then the very next passage is the one of a psalm that David wrote after he was almost killed by Saul. So this gives an opportunity to see, okay, David's not just sitting here writing a bunch of depressing poems. They're relevant to the situation that he's in, and it helps lend a lot more credence to what's happening and make sense of a lot of what's going on.
Okay, before I go on to my next question, I want to really emphasize and say I 100% agree with you that prayer is more important than the Sunday service, because without prayer, there is no spiritual power.
Mm-hmm.
So a loud Sunday service, you know, we put too much emphasis on the volume, but not enough on the spiritual power. And that usually comes about in quiet and silence. So you're right on the mark, buddy, with what you're saying about prayer being more important than the Sunday service. We dare not do them without it.
It's true. And it's outlined in the Bible.
Yeah. Be devoted to prayer. Colossians 4.
Mm-hmm. Right at the beginning of Acts, what's the first thing that they do?
7 days straight to prayer meetings.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were willing to do that even just once a year?
Oh, amen. Well, now you're making me thinking maybe I need to figure something out to do it. So share with our listeners your groups, what you're doing with your groups.
Sure. So last year, I had an opportunity to go on a missions trip to Poland. It was the most unexpected series of events that ever could have possibly happened. I was working as an engineer up till the end of 2022, really thinking that my next step was going to be in some type of leadership position there. And then God rug pulled me a little bit and gave me the opportunity to go on a missions trip, first a short-term one to the Middle East, where I got to visit Mount Sinai and had a bunch of other wonderful experiences. But while I was there, I met with a couple that did missions work in Germany, Poland, and Ukraine, and really connected well with them and hit it off with them, and decided to explore the possibility of going to Poland. One thing led to another. And I don't want to diminish the amount of time and prayer and the like that went into last year's planning, but we could be here forever if I did. Ended up going to Poland for a time in Szczecin, partnered with a couple of churches, one Polish and one Ukrainian, and helped launch a young adult group within the Polish church. Sadly, I wasn't able to continue raising funds in order to continue being there, and I had really hoped to be able to go back, so far have not been able to. And kind of in response to that, when I got back, I really wanted to take the opportunity to dig more into God's Word and see what He had for me next. I had stayed at the church, lived in the church while I was in Poland, and connected with several people that were new Christians, some old, that were hard on their luck and facing difficulties. And it was a daily interaction related to Christ, and it was wonderful. So a couple months ago, I had what felt like a push from God based off of a book that I read a while ago called Samson and the Pirate Monks, that has some similarities to your own book, Mike. It's by a gentleman by the name of Nate Larkin, and decided to start a Discord server for those young people out there. You probably know what that is. It is an online chat service that allows you to create groups and talk about a variety of subjects. And we have a little group that's forming that's there for one another when we're struggling with pornography or hurt from the church or whatever it may be, regardless of where you are. And so I'd like to be able to call that out for anyone who's interested. I put together an email for someone to reach out to if you want to participate in that group. It's discopirates1@gmail.com. And if you are interested in joining that group and you want some people to help you keep accountable and minister to you and support you, there's that there. And if you have any sort of inclination to help me in a return to my ministry to Poland or somewhere else, you can also email me there. Once again, it's discopirates1@gmail.com.
We have a minute left, Joel. Anything you want to say?
Take your relationship with God seriously. I think a lot of people look to God for one of two things. It's either to get something that they have in mind that they want from Him, or this idea that He needs us in some way. Rather, it is that God wants to be able to use us for His plans, and it is a wonderful blessing to be able to participate in them. One day when you are in heaven and are able to see the way that God was able to use you, that is reward in itself, and I can attest to it.
Amen, my friend. So thank you for joining us, Joel. It's been great having you. I love your insights. Wish you well in your endeavors, and let's keep in touch. It sounds like you're a real Christian, too.
I appreciate it. A real broken Christian. Thank you for having me.
All right, my friends, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.